Washington football. Woo! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Burgundy Zone. I am your host, Kyle, and I am joined by my co-host, Michael Hall. The Burgundy Zone is a part of the Frederick Podcast Network. You can find out more by going to www.listoffrederick.com. We also wanted to say Key 103 and 106.9, the Eagle, are having their annual radiothon for the American Cancer Society and Relay for Life. You can text HOPE to 301-620-1031. All right, now we are joined by former Washington Redskin wide receiver, Mr. Armstrong himself, the deep threat. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, sir. How are you doing?
I am good, man. How are y'all doing?
I cannot complain. You know, it is a little rainy here. The next couple of days is going to be raining a lot, apparently. But, you know, we're used to it around these parts in the DMV. But, Anthony, the Washington Commanders traded back in the first round in the draft, and they took a wide receiver in Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. There's been mixed reviews about Jahan Dotson, but from what I've seen, I absolutely love the kid. In your opinion, what have you seen out of Jahan Dotson? Do you like that pick for the Commanders?
You know, I think when they made that trade back, it kind of caught everybody off guard. Then the first report was that they only got a third and a fourth. So I was upset at first. I was like, that doesn't make sense. It's not right. When I saw they got the 16, yeah. I was like, okay, so at least they're still in play, but they got a little bit more draft capital, which is good. I'm not mad at that. So I figured a couple of their guys must have been gone, and I'm not mad at it. When you look at Jahan, I want to watch more tape on him, but looking at some of the highlights, like physically, he kind of looks like me. Reminds me of myself, right? He's got, you know, slim frame. He's got some speed. He's able to, you know, take a short pass and take it to the house. Good route runner. He's got good hands, strong hands. Couple things I know he's gonna face is press man. You know, he's gonna see how he handles press coverage. Because I know they showed the one highlight against Ohio State where he like backhands it with one hand and then runs it in. So if you break down that play, like in the beginning, that was a loss. Like the DB had him controlled, but he finished. He made a great play on the ball and he took it into the end zone. So that's what everybody remembers. Him against press is going to be the biggest thing that he has to worry about. But I do like the pick. I like how they built this team out over the offseason. At first, everybody was very critical. I was one of them. I was like, build a team, build a team, build a team. And I think things have come together pretty well, probably without not a lot of big splashes. Mm. You know, there's not a lot of big sexy names out there. That's no disrespect, but you know, hey, you can still build a team and not have a whole list of superstars, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And speaking of like building the team out, to kind of piggyback off that, it seemed that Ron Rivera kind of had that same idea that he wanted to build the team out and then kind of find that quarterback and kind of drop that quarterback in whenever the team was ready in his eyes, per se. What is your view on Carson Wentz getting added to this team this offseason? How do you think he's going to fare this upcoming season?
That's a great question, and honestly, this is the first time I've probably talked about it since it happened, because you know, everybody was saying, do whatever you got to get a quarterback. I'm like, that's fine, you know, but when his name came across as the trade happened, I wasn't too excited, one, because it wasn't a name that anybody had heard, you know, like right. Russell and Aaron and
the hopefuls.
Yeah, but those people already said that they're not going. Right. So at first, like that was like, it was like, what? Carson Wentz. Eh. And then, you know, I've given myself some time. I was like, okay, look, we're going to be real about it and say, okay, we do have the second, you would have to say we have the second best quarterback in the division, mm-hmm. right? We can argue to say that we have the second best quarterback, right? Yeah. You know, with some, he did have higher QBR than Taylor did last year. So that means he made better decisions with the ball. Being real, bad taste in my mouth comes from those last two games of the season. Jacksonville, I don't know who the other team was. That's where the bad taste in my mouth. And plus, I mean, you know, being a Washington fan and then seeing a Philly guy come, even though Donovan did that before, it was still a thing where it was like, we was trying to beat this guy for the past 4 years. Now we want to welcome him. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But you got to figure, okay, he's a veteran. He's played in this league a lot. He wants to prove that he has it still. And so, you know, you can expect that he's going to the play at that position is going to be an upgrade. So I'm willing to let him go out there and prove that. But initially I was just like, man, because after that, it was like the domino. It hit, that happened, and then the things just started going in the league. Everybody was like, oh, if they can trade Wentz, then who else is available? And it just went crazy. That makes you wonder, like, well, damn, what if we would have not, you know, what if that wouldn't happen? What would this offseason be like?
Absolutely. The butterfly effect, right? But back in 2011, Anthony, you were ranked the third highest in the league with your catch percentage, your catch yards per catch, with being at like 19.8. So I would imagine that you would be salivating at the idea of playing with a quarterback like Carson Wentz who could stretch the field, right?
Well, you know, if he's going to make great decisions with the ball, he does have a big arm. So, yeah, you're going to be excited for that. And then when you go and see how they added in Jahan Dotson, if he's able to step in and make an immediate impact, he's going to be able to feast on, you know, single coverage. Teams are doubling and finding a way to triple cover Terry because they knew the ball was going there. We need a number two to show up. And Jahan's got the skills to do it. And with everybody being healthy, that's the most important. I got to see everybody healthy out there on the field. But yeah, I'm excited. I'd be excited just, you know, from seeing what he did before. You know, he was able to throw the ball deep in the past. You know, so you got to expect good things. And you're going to get some good work with Terry all offseason.
You're speaking to my soul right now, Anthony, by saying that everyone needs to stay healthy. But you alluded to it, talking about Terry McLaurin, and his contract is coming up. Everyone is expecting it to be happening after the June 1st designation with Landon Collins' departure. But with Terry, I mean, for you as a wide receiver looking at this Washington Commanders team, I mean, there is no way that they can let Terry McLaurin walk, right?
Absolutely not. Like, if you want to see, like, half of the, or like the fandom leave as well, let Terry walk. Like, you can't, you cannot. There's very few chances where you get to cultivate young talent, you know, and then they actually kind of exceed your expectation. You have to reward those guys and keep them in the building. Hopefully Chase Young is one of the next ones that once he gets back on the field, he's able to just stay home, right? Not have to worry about going to another team to go make a big bag. Pay the man. Pay him what he's worth. Hell, pay him a little bit more. Pay him a little bit more. You might as well. You might as well. He's like, hey, I want 25. We'll give you 27 just because. And he'd be like, for real? I'm like, yeah, here you go. Just do it.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Nah, yeah, I 100% agree. Like, I've been saying from the get-go, if they let Terry Walker, he somehow leaves, like you said, the fandom will be gone, but there might be stuff on fire in the DMV at some point because I think the fans will riot out here, but
Don't burn the Terry jersey, though.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, don't burn the Terry jerseys. That's the last thing you can do. But I'm looking forward to, like, looking ahead to next season, or looking back to, like, last season, I should say. It seemed that Jonathan Allen kind of, like, became kind of that leader of the team, kind of like one of the faces of the franchise, and his play really stepped up as well, made a Pro Bowl. What player do you see on the team right now kind of taking that next step and kind of being a – not really a household name, not really a Pro Bowl player, but kind of just taking that next step and being one of those premier players in the league?
Mm, that is a really good question, Mike. Man.
Two for two. Shoot. Let's go.
You are two for two. We already said one name. I think it'll be a popular answer. I want to see what Chase Young does, you know, coming back, bouncing back. You know, I'm willing to give a little leeway out. I'm not sure when he's supposed to be back by. Is he going to be back in time to play this year?
He's been working out with the team. He was pushing the sled without a knee brace on at the voluntary workouts. So I think that they're gearing up for him to be able to start the regular season, but I would imagine it's going to be delayed.
Okay. All right. Well, in that instance, let me not, you know, throw his name out there because, well, I mean, you got to think about it, man. Like, if you're just cleared to play, like, you're just cleared for activity. That means you haven't been working out, but there's something different about when you get on the field. Because, like, everything off the field is controlled. I can control, like, hey, run 5 yards and stick your foot, then cut this way. But when you're on the field and you don't know if you're going to get cut blocked by a running back, if there's a screen, like, that's a different level. I'm willing to give him a little bit of time. Who do I want to see? I want to see somebody in the secondary. I want to see a corner show up. You know what I mean? I mean, pick one. Just pick one.
William Jackson the third.
I'll take William. I'll take William. You just got a big check, right? I want to see you show up and be able to, you know, say, hey, I got this side of the field. You know what I mean? Secondary's been, it's been a weak point for a little while. I mean, we had some good players, but as an overall unit, hadn't really been meshing very well. So definitely want to see, I'll say William Jackson. I would love to see him do well. I want to see Antonio Gibson. I want to see how he bounces back. You know what I mean? They just drafted another guy into your same room. They didn't say you may not lose a starting job, but you know, you when you get known as a fumbler or somebody that drops the ball, that stuff sticks with you. Like it's like an asterisk put next to your name. So he's got to basically be perfect. He can't fumble the ball, but he's going to put the ball in the end zone. I'm excited to see him bounce back because he's a fighter. He's a dog. So, I think AG will be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that extra pressure, Brian Robinson, who didn't fumble last season at Alabama, would obviously add to that. But, Anthony, you came through the Arena Football League. And, obviously, you came to the NFL under the Shanahans, and you really made a name for yourself in the couple seasons that you were here. So can you kind of, like, briefly, like, describe what that process was like for you going through the Arena League and then having the mental wherewithal, the determination to make sure you got to the NFL and you did something with it?
Man, I tell you, you say the short version. There's like no short version of it. I could get like quick highlights, right? Like so, went D2, went undrafted, and 05 was my draft. I ended up playing flag football. Eventually, I had an injury, and then eventually played flag football and decided I'm going to try to play ball again rather than take this insurance job in Fort Worth. Mm. And that led to me playing for like $200 a game in Odessa. We practiced in a parking lot for training camp because the hockey team was in the playoffs still. So I'm out there for like $200 a game. And I just said, hey, man, you got to go up every year. You got to graduate every year. Like, there's no way I'm going to be playing two seasons in Odessa in a row. Like, not happening, right? So I played 1 year, ended up going to a workout, ran some 4.2s, started turning some heads, and got an arena ball tryout with the Dallas Desperados. Will McClay, who's the head coach then, he runs the Cowboys draft. He brought me in there. So literally – it was like a week before I was supposed to go to my Arena 2 team. The Desperados called for a workout. I ended up making that team. I was there, went from practice squad to playing to then starting the next year. That led to 08 when the Dolphins called me after that season ended and eventually made my way there. Was on practice squad, got cut, worked out for Washington in 09, and ended up eventually signing on there, man. So how did I do it? I have no clue. I was just so focused on where I wanted to go. And like, if I wrote it down, it was like, just get better every day. Just go up every league. Every time I had to improve to another league. And I got to the league and it was like, oh, hell, now I got to play. You know, like now I got to get vested. I wish I did. I wish I would have said I want to play 10 years because I'd be still playing right now. I'd be the old guy in camp. And like, I came in with Joey Galloway being 37 years old. And here I am 37, but right. 39 now. But either way, it was just being, you look back at it now. One thing is like manifestation. You say that you want to do something. And then your actions fall in line with that. And it's crazy how you end up where you want to be. So that kind of happened. You could say luck. There's always going to be some luck in there, but I think there's opportunity everywhere.
Yeah.
But just at different points, you're going to have a different vision of it. You're going to be like, ooh, that looks like a really good idea. Or I could go here and do this. And that same opportunity could have passed you 7-8 times in the past. You just didn't recognize it.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I just was hungry. I wasn't ready to go work a regular job. I just was like, I'm gonna keep on going. I always felt like I could play. I just need to get in front of the right person. And we made it happen.
Absolutely. And that's so funny you talked about the guy that brought you on the Desperados running the Cowboys draft, because your first career catch was against the Cowboys in week one of 2010. But in that being said, that was under the Shanahans with Kyle Shanahan, who's obviously the head coach of the 49ers. And everyone knows about him as the offensive mind. But can you kind of go into detail, like in your time with Kyle Shanahan in that offense, what you learned?
Oh, man. Well, so Kyle, great players coach, very relatable. I mean, you see all the guys that came from his staff that are coaching now, they're all very relatable to their players. And, you know, you just knew that they were putting you in a good position. I mean, shoot, he called a play that was able to let me get past everybody and catch deep balls. So that was huge. Definitely had to learn a willingness to block. You know, as a receiver, you don't think about that often, but in his scheme, you got to get in there and get dirty, hit some safeties sometimes, hit some linebackers from time to time. So definitely learned that. I got to learn a lot from every vet on the team, you know, just to see how they prepared and how they handled things. Because, I mean, I took to that playbook. I literally learned the playbook. The whole thing. I was like, I'm a play receiver. Like, what position? All of them. Like, I'm making this team. So I learned the entire offense. And you got to just kind of get a good feel for how he calls the game, what plays he likes, and how things work. And the offensive mind-wise, I think it was very – it was opened up just kind of being on that team, learning from old days of, like, Denver, when Mike was running, you know, doing his thing with the offense. So it's good. It was fun to be a part of that tree that has known history of success from all positions, literally for like, what, 30 years of, you know, almost 40 years of Shanahan football has been out here.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people playing. So it's fun to actually be able to perform in that same type of system.
Yeah, your mic is frozen. But my last one for you, Anthony, the last one for you to wrap up this interview with you. You played here, obviously, for those 2 years. Did you have a favorite teammate during that time?
Yeah, I people ask that question. I was, you know, like Santana was like a big brother. Mm. You know, so him always down there, D-Hall, London, Lorenzo Alexander, probably hung out a lot with, you know, Darrell Young, D.Y. I was locker mates with Reed Dowdy, you know. But when I went home, though, like I was home. I didn't really, like, I went to work. I was at work. I went home. I was at the house. I didn't really, like, go out much, and we didn't do too much. There was a year that, you know, we used to go out and have a little receiver dinner. And then Donovan would come out, too. So we would just go, you know, go to Hooters or something like that and just kick it and chill. So those are probably the main folks, man. Just the ones that were, like, you know, low key on special teams, probably too. Special teams guys are different. We kind of wired different.
Yeah, Reed Dowdy, isn't he like half deaf?
I'm not sure what percentage, but I do know that he had
hearing aids.
Yeah, he had hearing aids. So, I don't think he ever had any problem hearing me, but he could have just turned that thing off and, you know, if he was trying to ignore me. He's a good player, though, man. He's a good player.
Look, and I feel like he got beat up a lot by a lot of people. And it's not fair going up against Andre Johnson one-on-one on a deep ball, 50-50 like that. That's just, he gets too much blame for that play. Because that's just,
I mean,
Andre Johnson's an animal.
You could have put Darrell Revis over there, and it would have, like, you'd have probably gotten the same thing. Like, one thing I loved about Reed is that he was going to always be where he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. And there were just at times that, yeah, maybe he wasn't as physically gifted to elevate with Andre Johnson to make that catch, but he was there.
Right.
And it's just like, dang, we got to, you know, got to get you to make that play. Not everybody on the field is going to be able to go make those plays. The ones that do, I mean, hey, they get paid the biggest of bucks. So
absolutely. Anthony, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. This has been awesome. I just want to say, you know, you talked about a lot being luck with having to do with you getting into the NFL, but then you talk about you learned the entire playbook. I think your hard work had a lot to do with that, Anthony. I can't thank you enough for coming on here and joining us and taking your time to be able to talk some ball with us, brother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate y'all having me. Mike, you got another good question over there?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. He took my last, like, one or two. That was going to be my two questions, so, you know.
Oh, man. He swiped your question. Yeah,
I was trying to cook up another, like, good one for you, but I couldn't think of one.
He'll save the good ones for you for the next time you come on, Anthony.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. Right, let me ask y'all both a question. Okay? So here, we'll go. Since you got, we're going to give Kyle an offensive question, and then Mike will give you a defensive question. All right. On the offense, who makes the biggest impact that is not like a Terry or like a Carson Wentz? You know, who's going to make the biggest impact on the offense this year?
It's going to be Chase Rullier, the center, because the new guards being there in town, him being getting guys in coordinated and ready and set, ready to go, getting the run game established, especially with these nose tackles we're going to be facing, like Jordan Davis in Philly, whatnot. Tyler Larson, the backup, did really well last season. He ended up getting hurt as well. But Chase is legit. He got a contract from this staff for a reason. He's one of the best centers in the league, and I think that he will be the most important part of that offensive line gelling. They did a good job last season, but they got rid of two of those guards and adding two new ones. There's always going to be a gelling process, Anthony, and you know that. So I think Chase Rullier is going to be the glue that sticks everything together and allows this offense to really run.
Okay, I like that. Because then he's got to make all the calls and, you know, if he don't got it together, then nobody got it together. I like that. Mike, same thing on defense. I can't have those big names. Take away the big names, the guys we know that are going to ball. Who you got?
That's a good question.
I feel like defense is more difficult because you're like, which one?
Right, exactly.
Or how about this? Who do you feel would be, like, we need that person to play better?
I will say I think it's going to be Montez Sweat just because obviously it's a passing league right now. He plays a defensive end opposite Chase Young. And if all the attention is going to go to Chase Young, if he's coming back off the injury, say he comes back ready to go, everything is good for him. I feel like Montez is going to get those one-on-ones, obviously with the new D-tackles as well, John Allen in the middle. So if we can get Montez to win his one-on-ones, get that outside pressure, get the quarterback to step up in the pocket. Yeah, they got Jonathan Allen to come in for the sweep-ups, or Mathis, the new D-tackle, or Payne, still here. So yeah, we can get that outside pressure from Sweat and Chase Young as well, but definitely from Sweat. And it's a contract year for him as well. So if he wants to get paid, he got to play big as well.
Hey, that is a good point. Contract years are important. People tend – they ball out during them contract years, don't they?
Anthony, we've had a lot of guests on this show before, but you, my man, have been absolutely awesome. And being able to
by
come
far,
back
with one of my favorite, I'm not even, I can't even lie, one of my favorite guests.
Dude,
That's how it's supposed to be.
Hey, absolutely. Anthony, I can't thank you enough for joining us, brother. I hope you have a great weekend, and definitely going to be linking up with you again to do some other shows. Because I'm telling you right now, in your future, I feel like you could come up with your own.
Hey, we might have something popping. You never know.
Hey, all right, make sure you give me a call. All right, Anthony. Absolutely. Have a good weekend, brother.
See y'all later. Have a good one.
All right, Anthony. Dude, I'll tell you what, man. We've done this a bunch of times. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was definitely, like I said, one of my favorite guests. Got to be in the top, like, 2 to 3, 4 or 5 guests. Mainly because no guests really, like, asked us a question. Like, hey, what's your opinion? And secondly, my man had that brown in his cup, sipping it all, and it's nice and
I was nice gonna and, ask. Nice and,
you know what's funny? When he asked me what my third question was, my next question was gonna
sipping
be
sipping on that yet.
Yeah, what you sipping on? That looks kind of good. But I'm like, I'll leave it alone.
You made me almost spill my yet. No, that was awesome. When Anthony started going on about Jahan Dotson in the press, because he had talked to us before we started recording that he hasn't watched a lot of Jahan Dotson, so he wants to watch more on him. But the fact that he was able to pick that up immediately and then talk about that one play in particular with that press coverage, that's absolutely amazing. That's exactly why we do this show. That's like the point I'm trying to get across. That was absolutely awesome.
I love that he picked that very play too, because obviously that's like his number one highlight play. Everyone goes, oh my God, the one-handed catch. But again, like he said, in the beginning of that route, the DB did kind of win. He had him jammed up. It's just how can you play through that, and what can you do after the fact, after the ball snapped? And I feel like Jahan Dotson set up, put on display perfectly his skill set. Just like you said, people have questions about, can he beat the press? Well, there you go. If he doesn't beat the press, he's still going to come down with the ball anyway.
Absolutely. Now, before we're joined by our next guest, Mr. Coach Greg Curl, let's answer some fan questions to wrap up this show, everybody. And this first one is going to be coming from Scott Hartley in the UK. Oi! Of course, we got to start it off with the UK boys. Andy Burrow is actually going to be joining us for this whole episode because Reed actually is working tonight, so he won't be joining us. So we were going to have Andy here, but Andy lost power. He lost power earlier in the day, and he still isn't without it. They said it was going to be 3 hours. I'm pretty sure it's on hour five at this point. So we're with you, Andy. I hope everything is okay. You're not too cold or anything like that. Hopefully the power comes on soon. But Scott Hartley's question for us says, hello, mate. Now that we've had time to digest the draft, which prospect do you think will make the biggest impact for us in the coming season?
My heart wants
before you answer that, your defensive player, I wanted to say so bad, Percy Butler. I wanted to say it so freaking badly.
I know, so did I. But I was like, you know what? Montez is in a contract year, and like you said, Anthony put it well. Usually in contract years, big time players make big time plays. So hopefully Montez is gonna be making some big time plays. But as far as the rookies go, my heart wants to say Brian Robinson, just because I feel like this coaching staff is going to fall in love with just how much power he brings, and just he's a pure runner, and the big knock on Antonio Gibson is he doesn't really know how to find those holes like fluently and all the time as a running back, just because he played receiver in college. So I feel like they're going to fall in love with just how he hits the hole, how hard he hits it, and how much power he runs with, how much aggression he runs with. And he's kind of sneaky out the backfield as well. But my brain is going to say my guy Percy Butler, just because Ron Rivera loves the guy so much. And I just think that they already say he's going to be on the field at least 50% of the snaps. So I definitely think that Ron and his coaching staff has big, big plans for this guy.
Yeah, and Coach Ron Rivera has said multiple times that this team is a team that with three safeties on it. And obviously that linebacker spot is going to be there, and that's something they want to use. And that's why Percy Butler was picked where he was. He can literally do everything. So that's a great, great one by you. But so I'll go in a different aspect here that will make the biggest impact this season of the rookies that were drafted. I'll say Fedarian Mathis, just because he's taking over for Matt Ioannidis, who was a cap casualty. And Matt Ioannidis was getting 60% of the snaps, and that was a big drop-off for these defensive tackles. And so I could see Fedarian Mathis having a huge impact onto this team, because at Alabama, obviously, he was a big name. But here, he won't be a big name. He'll be a rotational piece, and I feel like the tools that he has in place, he'll be getting a bunch of time, and he has the tools to be able to really excel in this defense. I think he'll mesh really, really well with the Bama wall. And now we are joined by our second guest, Coach Greg Curl, Cameron Curl's father. Thank you for joining us again, sir. Brother of the podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We hear you perfectly fine. So I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Hall. I got you in here a little bit late, and I'm sorry. But which of the prospects do you think will have the biggest impact in this season?
Well, I heard you talking about Mathis. He's one of my guys. But I kind of think they're going to try to get Holmes in the rotation.
Wow.
Kind of quickly, but not as a cornerback. I think they're going to try to get him in to help out with that Buffalo nickel role, and maybe the third safety, back there, and have Cam come up a little bit and probably play more of the Buffalo nickel and closer to the line, maybe. But I just got a feeling that they might try to do that if the Landon Collins reunion don't happen, because I got a feeling that might still happen.
Yeah, I have a feeling too, because I would imagine Landon, I know he earlier did not want to take that money down, but given with what's happening with his football team, I think that he might change his mind a little bit. And I know that Cam and Landon are very close, and so that would be something that both parties would want and be willing to do. But so let's move on to our next question. I'm going to keep this with you, Coach. This one's from Commander OC, one of the best questionnaires. And this is a really, really great question. I love this one. How does the current roster on ESPN differ from the way that Washington will be utilizing the roster on the field, as in depth or positionally. They don't exactly have the Buffalo nickel on ESPN's depth chart.
And they had the same thing last year too.
Right.
But I think, and what I noticed in the draft too, that there are more teams going to that three safety look. And I still think we're going to have three safeties on the field, and who that next person is going to be, I don't know. We're going to go two linebackers and three safeties. I just feel like it, just after looking at last year, we did really good whenever we was in that set with the two linebackers and the three safeties.
The 4-2-5.
So I think that's how it's going to differ.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because ESPN has them as in a 4-3, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, OC, about how we need to be characterizing this team as a 4-2-5. Just looking at it straight up as a two linebacker defense, and obviously that's what ESPN lacks. And like, they have Jamin Davis listed as the Mike, they have Cole Holcomb listed as the Will. So obviously that should be switched around a little bit. Right now, if you're looking at this as a two linebacker defense, I'm sitting here saying Cole Holcomb is the Mike and Jamin is the Will or Sam linebacker, given with what formation the offense is in. But you're 100% right. They have to be able to add in that safety spot. I know that the terminology is different for everybody, but like Rover or the Buffalo Nickel, just adding an extra DB spot, I think would probably be the smartest thing for everybody involved, especially somebody like Landon Collins, who, you said, could possibly be coming back. Because his role is not a linebacker. It's not really a safety. You know, it's you got to make the position for it, to OC's credit. What about you, Hall?
Yeah, I mean, to his point, they gotta kind of like do like an updated thing, because there's a lot of hybrid positions in like positionless football nowadays. So you got guys like Isaiah Simmons, who is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Play for the Cardinals. So he definitely got a lot of hybrid positions. So they definitely got to like make some changes to that. But I think there was a stat last year, as going back to like the whole three safeties thing, that whenever McCain, Curl, and Landon Collins were on the field together, the opponent's QBR was like really, really low. It was like, I want to say like in the teens, maybe like in the 20s at the highest. And then whenever one of them was off the field between those three, it was like in the 80s, something crazy. So I definitely think that coach has already said that he's not like a really big analytics guy, but he definitely looks at the numbers and has a guy that punches all the stats for him. So I definitely think they love going in that three safety set. And we're definitely going to see more of that 4-2-5 defense out there a lot more this year.
Yeah, and I would much rather them being able to mix things up a lot more than just to have a straight-up base defense, because in this day and age of the offensive minds that are in the NFL, they'll pick you apart left and right. Now, the next question, I'm going to go to you back to you, Hall. This is from Commander Viscount on Twitter. What do you think our division record will be this year post the draft? Obviously, a lot can happen. We all understand that. We're not going to be talking up out of our rear ends here. We're just making a guess as to how the record will shape out in the division. So what do you think, Hall?
I think we'll be probably somewhere around 3-3, 4-2. I think we sweep the Giants, just because I feel like for so many years the Giants had our number, but I feel like the tides have kind of turned and we're just going to roll over them, but we'll see. But I think we beat the Giants twice. And then I think we split both times with Dallas and Philly. Possibly. That would be like the best thing. But I'll say 4-2, possibly 3-3.
I'll say right now, Commander Viscount, we're going to be 7-0. We're going to sweep. We're going to sweep the division. Not only that, we're going to beat the Cowboys in the playoffs in Dallas. That's what I'm saying. We're going 7-0 in the division. What about you, Coach?
I mean, I can't go against that, man. I can't go against that. Hey, worst case scenario, I'm thinking of 4-2. Worst case, scenario. Yeah. Okay. I mean, man, I think, listen, I just think that defense is going to click. I think Carson Wentz, we're going to get the Carson Wentz from the playoff. Carson Wentz, he got so many, options to go to. Yeah. And then even our running game, oh, my God. I mean, we got so many guys you could plug and play, move them out into tight end, the wide receiver positions, put them in a slot. I think we're going to do pretty good, especially in the division.
Yeah, and to your point, Coach, they were 11th in rushing last season. They averaged 121 rushing yards per game. So just to piggyback off that, you're absolutely right. That should be where they really do well at, especially running the football. Obviously, the Colts were second in the NFL last season in Indy. So hopefully that transitions over here to Washington. I would love to be able to have a top five running game. It would make the offense so and the defense so much better.
Yes.
And now the next question that we have, Coach, this is from the Colonel. I know that you've been waiting to have a question from the Colonel. What if he's saying, how in the hell can we be defended against with Carson Wentz's arm and all the speed of our wide receivers? It's going to look like a track meet. He said, I mean, I'm serious. Just by way of discussion, what if we lined up all three of our burners and told them to run as fast as they can and that Carson was going to heave it as far as he could? Who's going to stop him? Is he right, though? It's going to be a track meet with a long arm, right?
Yes, I think so, man. Like, I go back to the interception we threw in Dallas when Diggs got the interception. The only reason he got the interception because the ball was thrown short.
Yes, it was.
Off the snap, Terry was gone. You know, we got guys that I mean, what's going to happen is they're going to help our running game. Because people are going to be scared of their speed, and they're going to back up a little bit, you know. Because when you get one-on-one, we get one-on-ones. I'm like the Colonel, air it out. If they need to go in the huddle, Terry and them need to go in the huddle and say, hey, if you look over there and see me one-on-one, just throw it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just throw it, man.
And Terry should have that in his contract extension with the team. When I tell you that, just heave it. And I'm sure Carson would obviously oblige. But you're absolutely right, Colonel. But let's just add some context on top of it, right, Colonel? You're right. Curtis Samuel obviously has to stay healthy. Terry has obviously been proven to be excelling the best in his game when he's deep downfield, which goes to Carson Wentz's strengths. Yeah. Then Dyami Brown obviously mirrors a lot of that without even talking about the addition of Jahan Dotson.
Yes.
But now let's add in the tight ends. Logan Thomas being a jump ball tight end. Now let's look at Cole Turner, who is 6'6", who is also a jump ball tight end red zone threat. You're talking about those guys being deep downfield against DBs who typically are not 6'1", 6'2", and can jump with these guys. That is a very, very good thing to have for your offense. And we've been talking about how bad this offense has been for a very long time. But, Mike Hall, I'll know about you. This offense is looking clean.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, I mean, this is probably going to be the most weapons, the best offense we've seen since probably the Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Jackson, Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon days where he was putting up like 4,000, almost 5,000 yards, just throwing bombs to D-Jax when he was leading the league in yards per catch. Obviously, you had Pierre Garçon, like, working all three levels. Tough guy, getting all the yak after the catch. So, I mean, we pretty much got the same thing here. Like you said, it's going to be a track meet. Everyone runs a 4-3, 4-4. Even Antonio Gibson runs, like, a 4-3 or 4-4, like, something like that. So, you got Twin Towers and tight ends out there. So, I definitely think that, look, they put everything in place for Carson Wentz to succeed. So, if anything goes south, anything goes haywire this year, you know exactly who it was on. So all we wanted for the longest time was get an offense that can push the ball down the field, make explosive plays, and put some weapons around the quarterback for him to succeed. And they've done all three of those things. So it's just now in Carson Wentz and Scott Turner's hands to dial up the plays and put some points on the board.
Yeah, and remember, like, we're talking about this aired out vertical offense, right? This bombing down the field, really exploding down the field, right? But now let's couple in the fact that they just drafted Brian Robinson, that they were 11th in rushing yards last season in the NFL. Not only can they hit you deep, they want to punch you in the mouth by running the ball through the ground. And somebody like Brian Robinson on third downs or just being that rotational back with Antonio Gibson, nobody is going to be wanting to be tackling BR late in the game, especially in cold weather games. Derrick Henry is obviously – he's the most time he produces is in the fourth quarter because nobody wants to tackle that guy. And that's what Brian Robinson is for. I absolutely love that pick. But now the next question, I'm going to go to you, Coach. Oh, sorry. What are you saying, Hall?
No, I was just going to say also, like, people are talking about all the downfield stuff and what Carson Wentz can do, like, with his big arm. But if you look back at last year, like, it was a lot of three and outs, a lot of third down conversions being made by this offense. Well, a lot of that was due to the quick game, like the quick outs, the quick game, stuff like that. And Carson Wentz has the arm strength to hit those quick outs, to hit those quick slants, hit those little comebacks and stuff like that. So I definitely think, like you said, they're going to move the ball. They're just going to be the best offense we've seen in a while. So I'm just Can't wait, honestly.
Yeah, and to your point, Hall, the Commanders last season were 24th in the league for yards per completion at 9.7. Indianapolis was 17th, and they were the second leading rushing team in the NFL. So obviously that number gets ruined a little bit. Yeah, so obviously Washington needs to get better from being at 24th. But the next question, I'm going to go to you, Coach Curl. This is from Jeff Miles in our Discord chat server. Start your own franchise. What's your name, the city, colors, head coach, and your number one draft pick? It could be any player in NFL history. So let's go with the draft pick first.
Cameron Curl.
Obviously, we should have known that.
Yeah, that's number one.
All right, now that you've picked your player, your number one draft pick, who's your head coach?
Me.
Hey, you're killing this right now. What about what colors?
Probably orange and black. Those are my high school colors.
Orange and black, and you like that?
Yeah, that orange and black with white trim. Those were my high school colors. I thought that was pretty fire.
And are you, what about city? Are you staying? Where are you going? Are you staying down south?
I don't know. I like the walk. I like the ocean. I might take my team back to San Diego.
Ooh, whoever gets drafted, Cameron would love that. Imagine being able to work in San Diego. That's just not fair.
Yeah.
What about a name? Do you have any name that you like?
See, what name would I go with? If I had my own NFL team, it has to be something like, I don't know, Punishers or Thrashers.
Damn, I was going to say Thrashers.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the attitude I want my team to have. I mean, we're going to be thugs. We're going to be like 80s Raiders, you know. I'm drafting dudes out of prison, you know.
Fred Smoot would absolutely love that, wouldn't he?
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so who would be my first overall draft pick? I'll go Tom Brady. That's who I'd be picking overall, number one in the draft. My head coach would be Bill Belichick. I don't think one would be as successful without the other, so I'd have to couple those two together. And then the colors, colors. I'd have to go with light blue and black. And then the city, city. Oh, I had one. Oh my goodness. And it went right off the top of my head. I'm going to say DC. And then the name, I guess I'll say the Thrashers. Yeah.
Let's see. Player, I'd probably go Randy Moss because that's like my favorite player of all time. Coach, I would go probably Andy Reid just because I feel like Andy Reid would be able to draw up some crazy ass plays for Randy Moss to especially like go deep and everything like that. So colors, I was going to say black and silver, but obviously you got the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's Northwest's colors. So I'll go black and red and white. That's because like that was my Little League Seneca Sports colors back in the day. City. I'm kind of with Coach. I want to be on the West Coast where it's nice and sunny and warm out. Got the water, got everything out there, the palm trees. I got to go San Diego or maybe even Oakland for real. Like,
no, I'll go Cancun. I'll change mine. I'll go Cancun.
That'd be a nice one too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody coming to work for you. You in Cancun. Right.
Might need security 24/7, but that's okay. It's worth it down there, dude.
Yeah. I'd probably say the Sharks just because, like, whenever I used to create teams on Madden back in the day, I always named them the Sharks.
It's from You're so basic.
I know. It's from Indiana. I couldn't think of anything else back in the day.
That's funny. That's a great question, Jeff. That's phenomenal. Our next question from Sergio Martin in the Discord chat server. This is going to you, Coach. What if we sign James Bradberry? Do we have to stick with his contract, or can we work out a new one?
Ooh.
So let's simplify it, though. Do you think the Commanders should add James Bradberry to this defense?
I don't think it would hurt, but I'm thinking, do we need to add?
Right.
I don't know. If we do, I think we should renegotiate the contract.
Yeah, because I think if he did get released, I'm pretty sure the contract is terminated and he'd have to renegotiate with Washington for a new one. Now, do I think that Washington should sign James Bradberry? I think there's an argument for both sides, right? Because the one argument is that you have a division now with A.J. Brown. You got Devontae Smith. You got C.D. Lamb in Dallas coupled with Michael Gallup out there in Dallas, obviously. The Giants have Kenny Galladay. They still have Kadarius Toney at the moment. They just drafted Wandale Robinson, right? And so that would make sense for you to bring in another guy that could come in that knows Ron Rivera's system. Ron Rivera drafted, he sculpted, groomed this guy from a rookie and started him as a rookie and be able to blossom him into a starter. Could he talk to him into getting a favorable deal for the team so they can make some other things happen? Yeah. I think, you should pull the trigger in that aspect. But if it's becoming a bidding war, I think that's when you try to back out of it. Because, yes, you want your young guys to grow and Benjamin St. Juiced and everything. But if you think that you're ready to compete now, is it good to be able to leave that up to chance? Whereas if you were to sign James Bradberry, you'd be guaranteeing that you're going to have a good passing defense to an extent, right? But what my whole thing is. That's the other side of the argument is, like, you have Benjamin St. Juiced, you got Kendall. Do you really want to take their growth out of it by signing James Bradberry? But that goes into it if you're ready to compete now or not. And that's just my opinion. What do you think, Cole?
Obviously it's going to make the cornerback room and the defensive back room better if you sign a guy like that, just because he has some talent. Like you say, he already knows the system. He can come in, kind of hit the ground running from day one. But as far as him kind of fitting in, like, obviously you got William Jackson on the outside, and then he's not really an inside guy. I don't think he can play the inside really at all. So you put him on the outside, then what, is Kendall Fuller going to get pushed inside where – he kind of struggled last year. He played better when he got moved to the outside. So it's kind of like you're taking away just one guy's strength and pushing him inside to make it his weakness or something like that, or something along those lines. But so, like you said,
this is why Coach Rivera talks about fit as much as he does. You're absolutely right, Hall.
Yeah. So if it's like a low signing, because like you said, he gets released, you got to renegotiate a deal, sign for whatever he can get. So if it's one of those low risk, high reward type deals, then like a low risk signing, but like incentive based, and you get like I said, high reward, then I would be for it. But yeah, like I said, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about pushing somebody else kind of outside of a role that they're already comfortable with, a la like Kendall Fuller or somebody like that. And like you said, we still got Benjamin St. Juiced, who they drafted last year, and due to concussions, he was kind of out of the mix. So kind of still want to see what he has to offer as well.
Yeah, I'm sure the concussions had a lot to do with it, but I feel like other circumstances had a big, big part in why he wasn't playing at the end of that season. But the next question that we have is from Mike Puckett on Twitter, our guy who was just on our show on Monday. Thank you, Mike. He said, this is a scheduling question. If you could pick one game, Hall, not in the division, to be a primetime game, who would it be, which primetime day, on which week?
I would go – definitely got to go Indianapolis for the primetime game just because we got Carson Wentz. Okay. And for whatever weird reason, Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay are still, out there talking bad about Carson Wentz, even though it's been months after the trade. They got a whole new quarterback. But yeah, they still keep talking about him. It's kind of weird. But so I'll definitely go against Indianapolis, over in Indianapolis. We play them away this year. Sunday Night Football, all eyes on Carson Wentz going back to Indianapolis – to shove it down Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay and come out with the dub.
I like that a lot, dude. Because
I like it.
That revenge would be phenomenal. But I'll say Puckett. I'll say the 49ers, the Kyle Shanahan. I have a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator, as a coach, as a human being. I think he's really good in that aspect. But I want my revenge for when he brought out the captains at FedEx Field. So give me the 49ers. Give me them on prime time on Sunday Night Football. I don't care what week it is, maybe week 9, week 10, so that when they bring out Trey Lance, the guy that they traded a bunch of picks for, they can bring him as a pig to slaughter for us to be able to show Kyle Shanahan, you shouldn't have ran your mouth. This is your pride and joy. This could probably be the one reason why you and Lynch both get fired. Put that on prime time and let us go to work on the 49ers and Trent Williams, who walked and, like, you know, crapped on Washington a little bit. You know, we all love Trent, but he went and signed with somebody else with Kyle, and I want my revenge for that. So let's go prime time with the 49ers. Let's go week 10 Sunday Night Football. What about you, Coach?
Well, mine is a little bit more selfish than personal, but it'd be the Rams or the Chargers. I just want to go to the stadium. You know, go visit the stadium. I want to go to that game and check that stadium out. I want to get the win too, but you know, yeah, that's a little bit more selfish because I'm against everybody we play. I want to dog them out. I want to beat them, especially the Cowboys, man.
Right.
Okay, I'll change it. If it's prime time, us beating the Cowboys 42-0, prime time in Dallas, on TV, that's what I want after last year, yeah.
We would all want that, Coach. He did say non-divisional, but you know what?
Non-divisional.
I'll take it anyway because we talk way too much about the Cowboys when we talk them up on here. So anytime we can talk trash about them, I'm all for it, brother. No freaking kidding. But Coach, before we get out of here to wrap up this episode, I wanted to ask you how you felt the draft went. Obviously I talked to you, I messaged you after the first round and you liked the pick. So after the draft has been here, we've been able to sit about it, think about it, let it gel and simmer a little bit. How are you feeling about the draft?
Well, I'm feeling better than I was doing the draft after I sit and think. And like you guys said, you know, Coach always talking about fit. Mm. And I know a lot of people were screaming about, you know, some of the linebackers they should have took and all that stuff. But you look at the linebacker room, we got some young linebackers in there.
Yeah.
You know, with Davis and Harris, you know, Harris came in last year. I forgot who he's playing. I think Davis got hurt. Holcomb, one of them went out and he came in and got a sack right away, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Slipped under there. Got a sack right away, and he's coming along. He knows the system pretty good, and for a reason they signed him on, you know, for this season two. So we good in that area, and you know I feel good about the tight end pick, and it's one guy that I really feel good about. And when we talk about moving the ball down the field, if he makes the team, I think he's gonna be a goal line, short and distance, plug and play. But Big Cole Kelly, I watched him play a whole year at Arkansas. His specialty was if we 5 yards or closer in, Cole getting, I mean, he's biggest, the offensive lineman.
Dude, he's gigantic.
You know what I'm saying?
6'7", 260 pounds as a quarterback.
Yes, yes. This guy can push the pal, you hear me? And he's strong. And he got a strong arm, too. Mm. He's in a perfect place with a veteran that can teach him how to make decisions. That's the only thing I saw, his decision-making, because he's not afraid of anything. Mm. He don't care. He going to throw it. If he think it's a crack in the defense, he'll throw it. You know, so his decision-making is going to have to. And he can get it downfield. I'm telling you, he's a strong cat. I'm excited to see what he do.
That's so funny. We just had Ryan Fowler on Monday, and he talked about the undrafted free agents, and one of the two guys that he picked was Cole Kelly, and he said he absolutely loved it. And I think you're right. I think Cole Kelly could be like the Steven Montez quarterback where they stash in the practice squad, they groom, and allow Sam Howell, Taylor Heineke, and Carson to kind of be the three quarterbacks on the roster just in case of emergency. But I think you're absolutely right. If Cole Kelly is here long-term as a developmental guy, kind of like Nate Sudfeld, except that we actually hold on to him and don't let the Eagles swipe him and actually do well for him, I think you're absolutely right. I love that pick with Cole Kelly. All right, everybody. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Coach, I can't thank you enough for coming here and joining us, brother. Yeah, that was such a great idea for you to schedule your appearances on here. Such a good idea.
Hey, thank y'all for having me, man. I love it, man.
I love it. Blast.
I was out doing some things. I come running in the house. My wife is like, why are you running? I said, I got a podcast.
That is awesome, sir. All right, everybody. That's going to wrap us up for this show. I'm Kyle.
I'm Hall.
Coach Greg.
And we will see you guys again on Monday. Have a safe, great weekend. And again, just to let you guys know, on Key 103 and 106.9 The Eagle, they're having their annual radiothon for the American Cancer Society and Relay for Life. You can contribute by texting HOPE to 301-620-1031. Help in any way you can, everybody. That would be great of you. All right, everyone. Be safe. We love you guys. Washington football. Right. Woo! Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kyle. I just wanted to say thank you so much for watching. And if you liked what you saw, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. That way you get notified when anything new is uploaded to the channel. Also, we just launched theburgundyzone.com. You can go there and find all of our latest news, articles, and the latest episodes that are uploaded. Again, we also have the Discord chat server, where all of our VIP folks are in, like Andy Burrows, Scott Hartley, Sergio Martinez is in there as well. Don't miss out on the Discord chat server. Go and check that out. Until next time, everybody, Washington football. Woo!